I said at the start of the service that really all you had to do was remember one thing and you were good. One thing and you could switch off the rest of the service, or at least the rest of it's me talking. You still want to sing and praise God and join in with the prayers. But that one thing was to remember Genesis 50, verse 20, which is the verse that says, you intended this for evil, but God intends it for good. That is what's happening now, the saving of many lives. And if that verse was too long to remember, you could just remember, you intended this for evil, but God intended it for good. Or if that, even that was too long to remember, you could just remember, God intended this for good. And really, I just want to think about that. God intended this for good. What's that? Five words. God intended this for good. Yeah, five words. God intended this for good. What does that mean? And if that's true of Joseph, is that true of anyone else? Because you think, when Joseph says that, he's just speaking to his brothers. They intended something evil for him. They intended him his death. And then they felt bad about his death, so they intended him to go to be a slave. Their plan was evil for him and wickedness. But God took their plan, and he used their plan to accomplish a good thing, as to save all of Joseph's family. Not just save Joseph, but save Joseph's brothers who are wicked to him, and save all his family, and actually save all of God's people. If God hadn't done that, Joseph and his family would have died from the famine, and there would be no family for Jesus to be born into, and all the world would be lost. No Jesus being born into the world means we're all done for. So through their evil actions, God used this to bring about the salvation of not just Joseph, but the entire human race. Now, I think you can say it's not just their actions, the brothers' evil actions that God used for good, but also everyone else's evil actions. Because remember, there's Potiphar's wife, who's horrible to Joseph and slanders him, frames him for a crime he didn't commit. She intended evil, but God used that for good, because if he went to jail, he could then be brought up into Pharaoh's position. The wine taster forgot about Joseph for 2 years. It wasn't deliberately evil, but it was pretty evil because he made a promise and didn't keep it. So again, God used that for good. No way, I think, at the start could Joseph see this is how God's going to do it all, but God did all those things, used all those evil things for the good of Joseph's family and the whole world. Now, that's all very well and good for Joseph, right? But is that true for the rest of us? The evil things that happen in our life, is that true that God's going to use them for our good? Well, let me give you one other Bible verse, okay? One other Bible verse. You've already had one, so another one's not too much of a challenge. Romans 8:28 says, God works all things for the good of those who love him and are called by name, by his name. God works all things for the good of those who love him and are called by his name. And those who love him and call by his name is another way of saying for Christians, for people who've trusted in Jesus and Jesus has rescued them and saved them. So says God works all things for good. That's the promise God makes. Not that God might work all things for good, but God does work all things for good. So in your life, if you're a Christian, trust in Jesus, God's going to work out everything for good. Now, that should make you pause. Because you hang on a second, how is God going to work out the horrible things I've had in my life? Redundancies and depression and chronic illnesses. The evil things that have been done to us, abuse, even just the weight of all the things in my life. How is God going to work those out for good? Well, it might help to think what that word for good means. Now, if you just think of good as in my happiness right now, yeah, if you just think of good as that, that's clearly not true. God's not going to work out all things so you will be super happy right now. That's not a promise anywhere in the Bible. In fact, the Bible promises all kinds of things to you, some of which sound pretty, like, terrible, like people will persecute you and hate you. That's not making you happy all the time right now. But good means God's going to do something good to you. He wants you to become someone. He wants to become more like his son Jesus and trust more in him and make it all the way to heaven where we'll be permanently happy and rejoicing and blessed. That's the destination. And God's going to transform you into someone more like Jesus. So he's going to use all the things in your life to make that happen. All right, let me think of an illustration to help us do this. Imagine your parents have told you that you can no longer have all the sweets in the house, right? They've banned you for that. And you think, how? This is awful. This is the worst thing. Up until now, I could eat all the sweets I wanted to. And now they're saying, no, you can't do that. But we know why the parents have done that, because they have a plan for your good. And the plan for your good is your teeth don't all fall out, and you develop a healthy diet, and you don't have all kinds of other issues that occur with eating too much sugar, and you're happier because of it. And they know that long-term, this is a good thing for you to have, banning all the sweets, because it'll help you. Or maybe a more pertinent example is, you might have been off school, and for the last, I don't know, however it is now, 3 months, whatever, and your parents yet might have forced you to do schoolwork. Now, they've done that because they love you. And they know for your good, they're going to keep making you do schoolwork because they know that it'll actually ultimately make you happier because you'll be able to read and think and learn better. And those are good things for you to do. And so God takes it. So in the same way that God knows what ultimate good is, he knows that what he wants to, and then he can use everything that happens in our lives, all things, for our good. That's what he's doing. Now, that's really exciting. So we can say God is in control of everything, and he can use everything for our good. So in Joseph's life, you see, he uses all these things for Joseph's good, for the whole world's good. In the same way in our lives, he can use all these things for our good. Now, imagine you're Joseph, and you're still rotting in prison, and you're not yet prime minister, and you think everyone's forgotten about you. You could clearly think God has not kept his promise to work all things to good. He hasn't done that, because I'm in jail, and clearly he's not doing anything. But then when Joseph's an old guy, and in this story right now, Joseph is an old guy. Like, he's probably in his 70s, maybe, I don't know. About that age, right? He's a decent length of time. He's looking back 40 years ago to when he was in jail and goes, now, looking back, I can see how God has always been in control and always using all these evil things people have done for good. I can see how he's done that. But that's taken a long time to look back and see that and to trust in God at the time. So that's the big thing. That's why it says, when we had that one bit of the verse you meant to remember, God intended this for good. That's still true for us now. Somehow, God's intending the things to happen in our lives for good, for the ultimate goal of us being more like Jesus and getting there to be with heaven with him. That's what he's doing. And we can remember that. And that helps us in a couple of ways, right? The first way, Jo helpfully mentioned in the interview, she talked about how the thing that she's learnt through this COVID-19 coronavirus thing is that she likes to be in control, and no one's been in control of this. It's all our plans are out the window. Everything's been frustrated. Everything we thought we were going to do hasn't happened. Holidays have been cancelled. Exams are thrown out the window. Plans for next year are gone. Financial implications have happened. We are not in control. But God is still, and God can still use for good. And all of a sudden, all that anxiety that we have about the coronavirus has somewhere to go. We go, oh, I'm anxious, but hang on a second. I can trust that God's in control. Maybe I thought I was, and I was holding everything together, but I you never were in control. God's in control. And maybe we're anxious about going back to school in September, or going back to university, or we're anxious about having to find a new job, all those things, but we can go, God is in control. And he can use us for our good, but it might take us a long time to work out what that was he was doing. The other way you can help us, I think you see in the story. So Joseph's right, he's an old guy at this point. And in the story we read, that Sharon read so well to us, the brothers are terrified because their dad's dead. And now they think Joseph's going to get them. So I think they're thinking like, Joseph's been bitter and angry at them. He's been filled with resentment all this time. Even when he's brought them down safely to Egypt, even though he says he's forgiven them, really he's seething with anger. He's like a big dam. He's not a dam. He's like a big, I don't know, torrent of water. And Jacob, his dad's a bit like a dam, holding back this water. But now Jacob's dead. This is going to gush out and pour out and crush the brothers. All Joseph's anger is like, ha, 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 now my father is dead. I shall destroy you. That's what they think. Because they think over this time, he's just stored up more and more resentment. So when they come to him begging for forgiveness, Joseph's baffled. He's like, well, I haven't stored resentment. He says, look, I'm not God. Am I God to you, he says. I think what he means is like, it's not my job to judge you. You did something evil and wicked. You did do that, we know that. But God's going to deal with that, not me. And then he says, that thing we read, that verse. You intended this for evil, but God intended this for good, to save us all. And so, because he gets that, Because he understands that. Because he knows that. He hasn't grown and grown and grown in resentment. Evil has been done to him in the past. And lots of us will know what it's like to have evil done with us in the past, right? We'll think back and think people have been wicked and evil to us. And that's still wrong what they've done, but his resentment that's grown and grown and it hasn't grown. Sometimes you can let that resentment like fester in your stomach. It starts off really small and over time it doesn't go away. Time doesn't heal it, it just sits there and gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And we're still furious about something that happened years and years ago. Because Joseph knows that ultimately God's in control of it for good. He's going to actually, I can let that resentment escape. That resentment is not something I'm going to deal with in my life. That poison of resentment that's in my heart is gone. It's not an issue for me anymore. It's not saying that what they did was nothing. That it was, who cares what the brothers did? It's irrelevant. Because that's why he says, I'm not God to you. He's like, well, no, it is relevant and God's going to have to deal with that with you. He's going to have to forgive you for that. And the only forgive for that is actually Jesus' death on the cross. That's how he'll forgive you for it. That, or if you're not forgiven for it, God's going to judge you for it. So it's still an evil thing, and he's acknowledging that and not saying let's just ignore it, but he's saying that God allowed him to process that, to deal with that, and to not be filled up with resentment for it. Now, I don't know, but I'm guessing a lot of people watching this and in this congregation have things in their past that actually were evil and done to them, and the temptation is to be filled up with resentment. To think of that person in primary school who you hated, who you didn't get along with and you're angry about. To think of the person at work who did you over and now you're cross, or the person who harmed you in the past. What that was could well still be evil, and that needs to be dealt with properly. And yet, because God is in ultimate control and can turn these things for good, it allows us to let go of that resentment and trust instead in a God who is in control and who does work out all things for our good. And one day, we'll maybe look back and see that. Maybe that day's in heaven when we're with him, when God's used those things to transform us to be more like Jesus and to bring us one day into heaven. But still then, our hope is to cling on to a God who is good and who is in control. So when we're anxious about stuff, when we're filled with resentment, we can look at God and say, no, I trust you. You're good. You're in control. Help me to worship you more and to know that I'm being transformed into someone who's more like your son, Jesus Christ. Amen.